Fire up the grill, bust out the Blackstone, grab a drink, grab a buddy. This is the Morning Tailgate Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. It's Friday, boys. We made it.
Yes.
You know, when it's a victory Monday, those weeks just fly by, don't they? This one went by lightning fast.
It's a great thing about the NFL, though. No rest
stop
for the weary.
It is a moving train.
We don't get here till we file our story.
That's right.
And stories.
Stories.
Sunday night, right? What time do you normally get out of there?
When it's Allegiant Stadium, I'm probably walking back to the vehicle.
That long walk.
That long mile.
It's going to start getting cold pretty soon.
About 6:30, 6:45, really? Yeah.
Looking at about 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
We've got many stories on Vegas.
And it doesn't help that In-N-Out. Talking about continuing that food talk from yesterday.
I walked right past it. And the whiskey's right next to
me.
That's always happening. You ever notice that? After games,
whiskey is always popping. You know how tempted I am to just veer off.
I'll tell you
veer
what.
Veer off into that establishment.
Forget that. Walking to the stadium before the game and smelling all the great food.
That's what I mean.
The tailgate, by the way.
It's fantastic.
I am so like, God, if I could just, that would be, it looks just, it's so much fun.
We love what we do.
Extremely lucky.
You know, we love the process, but man, there's times where it's like, remember what it was like to be a fan? Remember what it was like to just show up, post up, eat up.
I'm going to the Aviators game tonight. I'm taking my son.
Final
it
week
is.
Of the season.
Fireworks.
Final home
stadium. Oh, yeah. Fireworks tonight, Clay. Yeah.
Tomorrow is the Jersey Day, and then it's fan appreciation on Sunday.
El Paso. Who are they? What are they?
Chihuahuas.
Chihuahuas.
I didn't want to assume that was the name, but yes. So taking my son, and I'm just looking forward to just getting a hot dog and some peanuts. And enjoying the game, like you just said, as a fan, because it's rare that we get to do that.
Let me set the table real quick. 702-365-9200. We're taking your calls. Hit us up on the Dollar Loan.
Antipasta going on
first. Dollar Loan Center text line.
We got a 3-course meal coming.
Easy one today. It's what we do every Friday. What do we expect? Predictions. What's going to happen Sunday at Allegiant Stadium? We want to hear from you early. We want to hear from you often.
What do you want to see?
8:30. Tailgate pick'em. 300 bones on the line. Now I'm going to admit.
Dollars.
I'm going to admit. My pick may have been a misstep last week. We're not going to talk about that.
We do not keep those records.
Better.
Yeah, after Friday, after Sunday's done, those records, they can become null and void. It's a new week, a new chapter.
But as the coach says, you always remember the losses. You don't remember the victories. So that one, I'm here to rectify that. Chris Thomas, Fusion Odyssey, in the 9 o'clock hour. And Tim Murray, we had a bit of a scheduling snafu, if you will.
He had a little procedure, I heard.
Well,
he had to go to the dreaded dentist, right?
We're gonna dig into that dentist appointment and what was so important that he couldn't show
up and make us
money on a Thursday.
You can't mess around with the dentist.
I get
when
that.
When you gotta go.
Hey, you don't bother me, but when you mess with my money. That's when we had discussions.
There's still time.
You know what?
He'll redeem himself.
At 9:20, he's getting right into that final sit-down territory where he may have to be brought in to the Don.
Yeah,
the bosses.
To sit face-to-face.
He was literally telling me, bet against Notre Dame 2 weeks ago. Literally, just shouting it from the mountaintops. Vinny, listen to what I'm saying. I'm not directly telling you this. I'm not going
to
tell you
and
take your, you know, secretly go take some money from your wife or whatever. But he was telling me, bet that game. I'm scared crapless of that game against, who are they playing? Northern Illinois. 28 points.
Duskies.
And they ended up losing that game. It was such easy pickings. Why did I listen to him, Vince?
He has not been wrong on a Notre Dame angle. Not one. Not on this show. Not one.
I think they're playing Miami of Ohio tomorrow.
For a guy who, you know, loves Notre Dame. You normally don't bet for or against teams you love. You know, I'm kind of in that realm. But for him, it's like, I just know more about this team than anybody else. And I'm going to approach it very objectively without emotion.
Poor Purdue paid for the sins of Northern Illinois last week. They paid for the sins of Northern Illinois. What was it, 72 points I think they scored?
That sounds right. 71, 72?
On the road. I have not talked to Aiden yet about that. I'm sure
he
does not want to hear anything about Purdue.
Yeah, I'm sure he's beaming about it. I'm sure he's ready and fired up to talk about it.
Big Mike is smiling at him.
Definitely.
you mentioned the Aviators.
Yes, I did.
You know, we went to an Aviators game a couple weekends ago, had a Saturday.
Love Las Vegas ballpark.
Had a Saturday off, Summerlin ballpark, went and had dinner. Fantastic.
Where do you
dinner.
Go across
we
the
went,
street?
We went to a new place, Don DeMarco's.
Ooh.
And yeah. I got to tell you.
On Charleston, Wallapai. Nice
oh
place.
Oh, my word. What a place.
Clay is low-key. He knows every establishment.
You walk into that place, but you can smell the garlic. You can smell the sauce has been cooking all day long. That place is good.
And you know it was vintage because the guys from the back just started coming up to you and talking.
They're from Italy.
Just immediately. Beautiful. Just no intro, no, just mid-conversation. So what do we think about this? All that stuff. So it was great, right? And I'm thinking, you know, I can't remember the last time I've been to an actual game, sporting event of any kind, and not had to work it, report it, like pay attention, really care about what's happening. Sat back. Then I got the tug on the shirt from the kiddos. Had to go see Spruce the Goose.
Okay.
I spent the next three innings hunting down Spruce the Goose.
Oh, you can't.
The elusive.
I mean, he's a quick
Spruce
one.
Spruce the Goose.
He's a quick one. You find him, he'll hop over some chairs. He'll go over the dugout. He's a slick one. Now, the Aviator, they want to see the Aviator, but Spruce the Goose is kind of the main attraction at this point.
Yeah, it looks like a Disney character. Loving and cuddly.
Yeah, and I cannot make this up. We spent about 2.5, literally, innings finding, getting, hunting down.
And
Spruce
you just want to watch the game.
I just want to sit there. Just sit there and have a beverage, maybe. Libation. A vice. And as soon as we take the picture, I go, okay, let's go sit down. We sit down. My daughter goes, okay, I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Yes, Riley.
No. You got to teach him early, Vince.
And
she stick it out.
And she goes, we've been here for so long. I go, yeah, why do you think we've been here for so long? You got your picture with Spruce the Goose.
No, you got to, future, you have to brace them for the fact that it's 9 innings. It's going to take at least 2.5 hours. This is what we're doing. We're committed to this. You don't go to a ball game and leave early. That is.
I even got her a Spruce the Goose shirt.
Just get her ice cream or something at that point.
It was.
There's ways to coerce them. Bribe them into staying.
I wanted to get Jim Gemma to babysit. It's just to get Jim Gemma, take him up to the press box, and I was going to say,
Jim, we have a situation here.
But Aviators, have fun tonight.
I will.
It's a blast. Fireworks on a Friday night, last homestand. So if you can go out because it's a great time, and the weather could not be more perfect right now for it. So that's fantastic. All right, guys, let's get into it. What are we talking about? What needs to happen? What are the musts that we need to see on Sunday? We've talked at nausea at this point. We believe it's going to be a win. How is it going to look if and when it is a win? What does the nation, what do the tailgaters need to see to believe, to heal those scars from the recent past of prior silver and black formations, you will?
Along those lines, you know, because you have to look at the whole picture. Any concern over Colton Miller on the injury report with the shoulder? Well, this is, I mean, you know, this goes all the way back to last year. There was surgery that he underwent, you know, after postseason, and he actually waited a little. I think it was 40 days or so, 30 or 40 days after the season ended. I don't know.
Yeah, it was some time.
It could have been one of those, you know, maybe the doctors are thinking we can give it this next month or so to kind of figure it out. Could have been one of those things. Could have been one of those. Look, I just came off my season. I want to at least give myself a little bit of time to be able to enjoy my time off without having to immediately go into a rehab situation coming off the surgery. But in any event, this thing has it. He was coming back from the surgery, so he missed all of OTAs and minicamp, all of training camp, basically.
Yep.
We've seen him struggle, let's be honest, this first couple of games. And now, you know, he's on that injury report with the shoulder. And how disconcerting is that?
Well, I'm going to lump Max Crosby in with the question.
He's an alien. He's going
to
be fine.
Only because of what I'm about to say and kind of my take on the situation. And, again, could be completely wrong. Who knows what's really happening in that medical room. But this is what I see it as. In terms of those guys, but specifically to Colton, it was a physical game. He hasn't played a lot of football. He hasn't gotten a lot of reps. And while he is a stalwart at that left tackle for the Raiders for a number of years now, Antonio Pierce admitted, like, there's a lot of sore guys in that room
right now.
That's
why they do walkthroughs this week.
And that's why they went and did a walkthrough. When you look at that walkthrough, it's the walkthrough Wednesday when that happens. What happens for those that may not be aware, when the injury report comes out on a walkthrough, a lot of those are estimations.
Projections.
Yeah, and not necessarily this is what he's dealing with.
Well, it is what they're dealing with, but what their projection is, what would have this meant had there been a full practice?
Yes, he's literally
dealing with an ankle or a shoulder.
Or a shoulder. So when I see that, I say, okay, let's – I'm mostly curious what Fridays looks like as opposed to Thursdays, because Thursdays, especially if it's a walkthrough, you're probably not doing much anyways. You're probably still sore. You're still getting treatment on whatever you're getting treatment on Thursday. And so, again, by letter of the NFL law, you're still required to
report it.
Report everything. So, roundabout way, I'm not worried until there's something to worry about.
Okay, that may all be true, and I agree with you. They're going to play. But that doesn't mean they're going to be – that. My question is, if it's showing up on the injury report, he's dealing with something. There's no – let's not kid ourselves and think that it's probably been bothering him so far this year. It's probably going to bother him and maybe hamper. Maybe that's the reason why some of the play hasn't been as good. And Max Crosby, to whatever level that injury is, he's going to be dealing with it on Sunday. Like, it's not going to knock him out of the game. I don't think that.
Yeah.
And in Max's case – I don't know when he suffered that injury and how much he played through that injury on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens, but whatever it was, it didn't hamper him. He played
well.
Yeah,
we don't know when it happened. We saw him notice it.
Yeah.
What, the second to last play of the game, third to last?
Right.
We noticed that.
Right, exactly.
But
in
yeah,
Colton's case, the reason, and for sure.
Do you have concern?
About,
let me ask
about
you,
where he is physically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because. You have to be, I think, because the level of play so far hasn't matched up to Colton Miller that we've, you know, grown.
Agreed.
Yeah.
But when I look at Colton and I'm specifically talking about the sacks that have been given up or where he's been beaten or pressured, I would say 80-85% from what I've seen are purely communication stuff, as opposed to physical. Now, that's not to say he's not dealing with something, and he may not be
have the strength
to where he's at. I haven't seen,
and it's not just pass blocking; it's run blocking.
Yeah, but I've not seen a physical, a noticeable physical dip where I'm like, okay, he's now hurting the team as opposed.
No,
that's why I'm saying I'm not going to worry until there's something to worry about. If I see Colton Miller start getting pushed back on a consistent basis. It happened a couple times in the first couple weeks. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt in terms of still knocking out.
You're not worried that this could linger? That's where I'm at.
I'm not. I'm gonna,
no. The shoulder?
It shows up
this early?
It's a concern moving forward, but in terms of like alarms going off
for
this week
that.
And where we're at, I'm going to say no.
Right.
But it's something to keep an eye on is where I'm at.
No question about it. No question about
it. You know who has some level of concern?
Who's that?
The Nation. The tailgaters. There's still hesitancy. I talked to some fans yesterday after our show who say, Vince, it's just hard for us to get past
what
we've seen in recent years.
Totally.
And I understand it's a new team and all that, but it's just hard for us to unsee what we've seen in recent years. And 702-365-9200, Clay, I mean, that feels like a lot of what we've been hearing all week.
It's hard to let go of the past, and for good reason. You've seen it over and over again. And avoiding a letdown situation, a classic letdown is coming up for most teams. But is it in store for the Raiders? Let's get your thoughts. 702-365-9200. What are your musts for this game? Here in Las Vegas, it's Jay. Jay, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller. I listen every morning to you guys. I love what you guys do.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jay.
Yeah. So that's exactly what I'm concerned with, man. So many a letdown game, you know. So many, you know, year after year, you get to the first round of the playoffs, wild card weekend, and you sit there as a Raider fan, you're like, man, that could have been us. You know, we could even just go last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit there and you're like, man, that could have been us, man. Had we just scored a touchdown or two field goals against Minnesota, had we closed out the Colts, we would be right there. And that's what I really want to see. I think As a fan, that's when I know that this team has turned the corner, when they win these types of games that they're supposed to win. I mean, you saw it last night with the Jets and the Patriots. I mean, the Jets were supposed to do that to the Patriots. And I think the Raiders need to get to fully turn this corner. They need to win those types of games. And I'm not saying, 35-10 or anything like that. Just a good, comfortable double-digit win like you're supposed to.
Fully agree.
When you say you're worried about a letdown game, what part of the Raiders are you most worried about?
I'm most as it pertains to this team. On this game, the offense, maybe the offense not playing like they did in the first, couple quarters of last week's game.
Mm-hmm.
That against the Ravens. That's what I'm concerned with, because then you get that nervous energy, and then that's when mistakes happen, turnovers happen.
Yeah.
I'm not really concerned. Like with the defense has been lights out. Even though the rankings might not say that, but I mean the defense has been on the field a lot. But I'm not concerned with the defense at all. I think this is the first time in a long time that this defense has really been playing at a very high level. I called the JT show a few days ago. I honestly feel like this is a championship level defense. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, the growth of Jakorian Bennett. That's the main thing that has stuck out to me. Like that kid right there, you could tell he put in the work. Jack Jones is picking up right where he left off from last year. Max is Max, and Christian Wilkins. Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, the push that he's getting, it's just the offense, man. That's, and to be honest with you, with the way this defense is structured, call me crazy, but I think Minshew has a chance to play the Rich Gannon role from the early 2000s. I mean, we all know that Gannon was a journeyman quarterback, for all those years until he had a great team around him, especially a great defense. Now, obviously, our offensive line isn't to that level, but Gardner Minshew can most definitely, with the way this defense has been playing, can most definitely be a Rich Gannon. And that's what we need. We need a player that's, consistent on offense, and like he has been. His pass percentage has been great, but we need to protect him, and Getsy needs to open up the offense, play a lot, play loose, because you have a great defense that can cover you. So I'm just concerned again, a letdown game. I'll be very, very happy if we can get a double digit win. That's when I'll feel like we're turning the corner, when we can win these types of games.
Jay, thanks for the call. And again, it's a microcosm of kind of what we've heard all week from the fans. I mean, there's worry of a letdown game, and the worry really comes from the offense. We saw it in the last quarter and a half of it kind of coming together. But the worry is deserved, I guess, based on
history. It's understandable.
It's deserved in terms of the game itself because of recent past.
Mm-hmm.
And it's understandable because of what we've seen in the first 2 weeks of the Raiders' offense.
Shout out to Gardner Minshew, by the way. First in the NFL in passing percentage, 77.5%, I think I wrote in my story today. Second, and tied for second in passing yardage, just a couple yards away from like he's doing his job. And as I tweeted on Sunday, if you just give him time, the guy's playing a pretty good level of quarterback right now. Kind of exactly what the Raiders need, especially if he avoids the silly turnovers, which he started doing. And I thought Max Crosby said he told us, or Gardner told us something that Max told him that I found really interesting along the sidelines. We need Washington State Gardner, which to me means carefree, a little bit of gunslinger, a little bit of just having some fun out there. Maybe in his quest to play carefully and efficiently earlier, whether it was against the Chargers or early on against the Baltimore Ravens, he lost some of that carefreeness that kind of defines him. When you look at him at Washington State with the hair flowing, the mustache, slinging it. He was a gunslinger at Washington State, kind of running around, making plays. And in his good moments in the NFL, that's what he's been known for. And maybe he was trying to kind of, do what he was supposed to do, stay in the pocket, be efficient, and all of those are important things. But he lost some of that. You know what? Let's just go out there and have some fun and play football the way I know I can play football, which is what he started doing, especially in that fourth quarter. Because from that moment on, five scoring drives over the last seven Raiders possessions. He threw for, I think, 215 yards of his passing yards came after that sideline. He completed 19 of, I think, 24 passes from that moment on. Something clicked after Max said, go back to being Washington State Gardner. And Gardner goes, yeah, let me go whip that up here right now. He said to himself, yeah, he's right. I need to go do that. And it seems like that's what he did.
More to chew on with that. We'll do that coming up as well. Taking your call, 702-365-9200. It's the tailgate.
Minshew pulled it out of White's belly and a quick throw to Devontae in the back middle of the end zone. And the Raiders, with 3:54 to go in the game, are an extra point away from tying this game.
No, it was awesome, man. He grabbed me and just said, hey, we got your back, dude. Like, we need that Washington State Gardner. We need that, you know? And I was like, man, you're right, dude. Let me see if I can go whip that up real quick.
Raiders Radio Network with a call. Gardner Minshew and his reaction to the Max Crosby pep talk during Sunday's win in Baltimore, 702-365-9200. It's the Morning Tailgate, Raider Nation Radio. Vince Sapienza, Vinny Bonsignor, Clay Baker, and you, 702-365-9200. When you call for a reaction, you need to find predictions. What are your musts for this game? You got to go to the Prophet out of Philadelphia. He texted in the final score and the game scenario. Who's going to win it last week in Baltimore as he treaded there with his family? It's Raider Don from the 215. Good morning to you, sir. What are your musts for this game, Don?
Good morning, guys. I think since Sunday is the first day of autumn, I'm calling the autumn wind blows in a Raiders victory 2016. Ooh. As the defense is the key to this game with a key turnover. I think the defense is going to play a big part. We might even get two turnovers and win this game. Let's get the dub, boys. Let's go Raiders! Thank you, guys.
So he said 20-16.
That's what I got.
20-16 with two turnovers. Right?
Two forced turnovers.
That's what he said? Two forced turnovers?
Yeah, you're going to need more than 20
well,
points.
Well, Patrick Graham, you can't say turnover. Don't say turnovers to Patrick Graham. Don't say turnovers to Patrick Graham.
Takeaways.
He had his availability yesterday, and boy, was that a point of contention. He prefers the term takeaways because if it's a turnover, the offense is just being irresponsible giving you the ball. They're not going to do that. They're professionals over there, too.
He wanted
you got a takeaway.
He wanted nothing to do with talking about Sunday.
Week two is gone. In his
I
mind.
I had to respectfully.
Well, yeah, let's give some context. Let's give some quick context. So there was questions about week two. Vinny, you were asking about week
two. I was asking
two
about Jacorian Bennett and beautiful play that he made. Where
on the Robert Spillane interception.
It was just a beautiful diagnosis. It was a beautiful communication to Jack Jones. He did everything that you're supposed to do and ended up, as a result, being in position to poke the ball away. That led to the interception by Robert Spillane. As in our job, you know, and one day I'll have this conversation maybe with Coach Graham, because I totally understand where he's coming from, too. Time to think about the Carolina Panthers. But beating the Carolina Panthers is part and parcel to a good Jacorian Bennett continuing the evolution of Jacorian Bennett. So what he did to force that takeaway on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens, if he can continue that part of it, especially the mental side of it, which if you watch that play,
it's a great play.
It's not just a physical play; it's a mental play
on every
level.
Facet,
exactly.
Yeah, every level.
So for our reasoning for asking that question on a Thursday when we finally talked to
the only time we talked to the defensive coordinator.
It's not to relive the moment, the
one guy who can show the proper appreciation
yes.
and just how special that play was, not just from a quick he broke up the pass, but on a different level. He's the one who can properly articulate how far Jacorian has come from being able to just play the position to being able to diagnose, make the decision, and then execute the play,
which is kind of important moving forward. We're not asking questions, and again, one day when we're having a beer or whatever, we could talk about that. Like, I'm not asking that question to relive the moment.
I think
I'm getting ready to write a story.
I think everybody understood what you're doing. Patrick Graham is in his own world in terms of, we talk about turning the page. That guy turned the page 3 days ago,
yes.
and he wants to talk about nothing more than the Carolina Panthers. We're going to hear more from Patrick Graham about what he had to say about Carolina, but I want to go back to the clip Clay brought in. Could that not have been more of a perfect answer? from Gardner Minshew. Like, in your mind, knowing Gardner as we do, could you imagine a better answer? Let me just go whip that up for you. Yeah, talking about Max Crosby wanting him to be Washington State. Yeah, I could do that. Let me whip that up for you.
That's a great idea.
That could not be... There's a lot of Gardner Minshew quotes in the short time he's been here in Las Vegas. That, for me, might be it.
See if I can go whip that up real quick.
Which is, he did. That, the whole point of it is that he ended up finding, like, I got to go whip up Minshew mania. That's where Minshew mania started. And by the way, you know, as I'm writing the story, Washington State went 11-2 that year.
Yeah, he was a monster.
They won. They beat Iowa State in the Alamo Bowl. By the way, his people that I talked to that went to the Alamo Bowl, I know Gardner was focused on that game, but they enjoyed the hell out of San Antonio. Like, his former coach, they're like, you know, I can't even explain to you what a great weekend that was. And I told Gardner that, and he's like, yeah, they had a lot of fun.
I think he averaged over like 400 yards passing that season.
It was
let me go whip
video
that up
game
right
numbers
quick.
And honest to God, when you look at the numbers and you look at the statistics and you look at what immediately happened after that, again, five scoring drives over the Raiders' next seven possessions. And one of those possessions was a take a knee at the end of the first half. So technically you have five out of the next six possessions, they scored points, Vincent.
Did my mom just walk in the door?
An extremely high percentage of his passes. He started making plays downfield. That's when the Brock Bowers stuff started really happening. That's when the Davante Adams stuff started really happening. And I'll say this. Yeah, there were a couple of PIs against Davante Adams. But when you're being aggressive, when you're intentionally taking those shots downfield, guess what? That's going to happen too, because defenses are going to start freaking out, and it's Davante Adams, and I'm not going to let him catch this ball. I'm going to have to body him up a little bit. That's where those calls start happening. So even though those don't technically go on Devontae's ledger or Gardner's ledger, you almost have to account for the 30 yards that they got in that play. So his passing yards was really should have been closer to 300 yards in that game rather than where it was, you know, because one of them was taken away by a penalty.
Clay, I don't know if you saw me when he said Vincent. I immediately straightened up. Like, it's just scars of the past.
I know. You're fixing your hair. And I'm just like, all right.
What is out of place?
Driving home the point.
Boy. And you did.
Right.
And I'm full attention, Vincent.
It was one of those things.
It's one middle name away from you getting grounded.
Exactly. And I think Vince can appreciate this. When we're watching games in real time, and starting to think about our angles, what we're going to write about, what we're going to talk about on your broadcast, on your report, things happen so fast that it's just hard to, like, you know,
it's hard to dive into it in that moment, because again, it is happening quick, and that's the beauty of a show like this. We have the time to kind of take deep dives, really explore the whys, the context, everything that goes into it. On a Sunday, we're sitting there being like,
you got deadlines.
This is what happened.
And so that's why it was so interesting to me, why I tried to make that point as clearly as I could to you right there, is because I literally said, what exactly did happen after that conversation? Yeah. And you go back and look, holy crap. Like, that turned Gardner around. And I think Gardner, as he said, as he told us, he appreciated that. Like, and all, you know who else appreciated it? Antonio Pierce, saying, look, it's one thing for me to go to the quarterback and say, we need Gardner Minshew, the Washington State Gardner Minshew. You know, yeah, that's going to be important. Yeah, that's going to have meaning. But you know how much more meaning it has when it's Max Crosby getting in your face, like, you know, pointing at your, like, we need Gardner, Washington State Gardner. That takes that message to a whole other level.
A couple things I want to hit on of what you just said, because I think they're all important, they're all valid. I remember at that moment on Sunday watching, seeing that clip, Clay, and being like, all right, this is going one or two ways.
Sure.
One or two ways.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is going to be the clip that kind of defines it now.
Is
the clip
whatever
that defines
happens
that
after
game.
That.
Because it's one of those moments. And I said on Monday, I know it's early. I know it was week two. But that felt like one of those moments when we look back on this season, regardless of what happens for the Raiders, the success, however far they go, that felt like that's a moment, that's a starting point, that's a turning point, whatever you want to call it, that's a moment in their season, and it's only week two. Two, What is it? You know, everyone's been talking about Max being able to be the leader that he is. And I think we all understand at this point, like, he is the leader.
For sure. Heart and soul.
That's not a surprise that Max would do that. For me, the biggest takeaway from that is not necessarily that Max did it, not that the cameras caught it. It's Gardner's reaction to it. In a sport filled with alphas where everybody is the dude or everybody was the dude. I forget who said it, Clay. They were talking about when you're – might have been Antonio Pierce. When you're in Pee Wee, you're the greatest player in your state. When you get to the high school level, you're still probably the best player in your state when you're an NFL player. When you're college, you're the best player on your team. And when you get to the NFL, you're just another one of the best players around the country, right? And then on a team full of alphas with a Max Crosby, a Christian Wilkins, a Davante Adams, things like that, Gardner Minshew, you know, wherever you think he slots in the quarterback field in the NFL, was, to your point, at Washington State, the dude. Like, nobody was better than Gardner Minshew in the state of Washington at that time. So to him to have the humility to sit there and the respect, and that's what we talk about culture. And why we talk about in the offseason and training camp, it's so important that these guys are close. Because you have to be able to have those tough conversations and sit there and not and take it on the chin, basically. And for Gardner to do that and respond in a way that was so positive and so positive for the team, to me, that speaks volumes. Again, we know what Max is, but to me, it speaks volumes of Gardner and what he can do. And you talk, that's the biggest thing for a coach, right? When you're a coach, how do I unlock the greatness of each player? Because it's different for every guy. And coaches admit sometimes it can't come from the coach.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think when we analyze what happened and put ourselves in Gardner's shoes, for him, what it ultimately became was just kind of a reminder, like, you know what? He's right.
Oh, like, yeah, I am awesome. Like that.
No. Like, I need to be me. Yeah. I need to be me. I need to be that version of Gardner Minshew because what's today? September, whatever it is, Friday morning, September
20th.
20th.
Oh, boy.
For the Raiders to have a successful season this year, for the Raiders to win, what did we say, 10 games?
The path to the playoffs. Path to the playoffs, but 10 wins is what we talked about.
Some magic needs to happen. Okay,
and
any team that goes to the playoffs, there's going to be magic that happens sometimes, especially with a team that's at this stage of their journey, where the Raiders are, and I think that's gonna for the Raiders to do what they need to do, it does need to be Washington State Gardner Minshew. There needs to be some Minshew mania that happens, and I think we saw some of that. The way he was playing looked different than when he had played the four quarters against the Chargers and the first two quarters against the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like he was playing a little bit too cautiously, and there's something to be said about that. You don't want to mess it up. You don't want to throw the pick. He had a couple of big turnovers against
cautious
the Chargers.
Cautious Gardner is impatient Gardner because when he's being cautious, he seems like he bypasses. If it's not his first one, he just either eats it or he moves and he gets off schedule. That's when I say impatient, doesn't mean he's going too fast. Sometimes I think he's too within himself and he's overthinking.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely overthinking it, and it you know, kind of stunts him or from taking those chances, from being the gunslinger that he has to be. That's the best version of himself is being carefree. Minshew mania, running around there, making plays, and playing carefree football. That's the best version of himself. And I think that there's something to be said about careful. There's something to be said about, you know, telling yourself, I got to be efficient. I got to avoid turnovers. But if that's holding you back, then it's not doing the job. It's okay just to go out there and have some fun, which is what I felt like he did. And I felt like that was the message that Max was giving him. Relax. Go be Washington State Gardner. Have some damn fun and go make some plays, and that's exactly what happened.
Clay, I don't know if this is going to ride with you, but when I saw that, I immediately thought Rocky II, the aftershave commercial. and he's just in the cage. Rocky's just, and the director's yelling, cut, cut in his face, and then that snapped him out of it. Got him back. Yeah. Got him back to Rock.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, to communicate to him on a different level, a level that Rocky can relate to. All right, we'll take a break on Raider Nation Radio. Coming up next, more of your thoughts here on the text line 7023. This morning, tailgate, Raider Nation Radio, 702-365-9200, Vince, Vinny, and Clay. And I'm back to the phones to the Carolinas. Snake Man. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, guys. How's the connection right now? It's pretty spotty. Are you good?
Pretty good.
All right. Well, news alert. The offensive line, if you just go by it, just law of averages, for God's sakes. Sure. Whether we change the blocking scheme or we have some personnel changes, regardless if we're going to insert Big Johnson, pun intended, I guess, there's no doubt they're going to improve in my mind. They can't possibly play this badly much longer. So I'm just saying, based on law of averages, I'm pretty sure we're going to see some improvement here. Regarding Big Johnson and his impact, I mean, transition-wise, from center to guard, I actually think that's not a big deal there. He's not calling out plays or trying to call out coverages, et cetera. I think the bigger transition, obviously, would be, right, from college to pros. So I still think he'll have an impact because the guy's a beast. So like I was telling Q the other day, I don't know if I've ever been more excited to watch a rookie guard make his debut, for God's sakes. And also, one last thing, guys. Minshew, I said like some weeks back, maybe some other people felt the same way that are kind of Minshew guy people, but I don't know if we've really seen the best of Minshew yet because he's never played with this kind of talent. And, man, Max is brilliant. I mean, how intelligent is Max to kind of point out that we need that old Minshew of Washington State? I mean, this guy's got like a sixth sense, I swear to God. And, you know, it's funny because Freddie was on with JT the other day, and he was pretty much saying the same thing so many of us have thought. We are like witnessing just something incredible here with this team. We're on the cusp of these guys doing something really special. I mean, the defensive line right now has two studs, bona fide studs, Max and Wilkins, who apparently can leap tall humans in a single bound. And, you know, no one thought Spillane was going to be the guy that he is. So, for me, Spillane is the key to the defense. And the safeties, I got caught off yesterday on Q Show. I had a bad connection. But the safeties, I think, have been victimized by some bad play by Diablo because all of a sudden they're scrambling to get to that level when Diablo misses some of those big plays and those big tackles. So, two guys on this team, Diablo on defense, Colton Miller on offense, have really hurt the Raiders in these games. And this guy's just come around a little bit, especially Colt. I think we can replace Diablo in the short time and maybe even a long term.
All right, Snake Man, appreciate the call.
Well, and just in terms of his point on law of averages, 4 yards rushing in the first half for the Raiders last week. So, yeah, if they get any kind of improvement and they were down 9-6 at the half, you're going to see a much different team.
Yeah.
If and when that kind of gets on track. The JPJ stuff, moving to center, let's let this kid get at left guard. Let's let him get acclimated to NFL football.
Well, what he was saying that is it's easier going from center to guard. He was saying, imagine if he had been out all this time and his position was center.
Oh, yeah, okay. Got it. Yeah, all right.
He was saying that this should be a pretty seamless transition.
Oh, my apologies, Snake Man. I thought you were trying to put him in a different spot.
No. And by the way, we talked to Jackson yesterday, and the colorful terms that he was using in terms of what he feels his job is to do, I may be paraphrasing, but I think I'm directly quoting him. Run around and kill people. like if you want to understand what the mentality that he's going to start bringing to this Raiders offensive line, we have that sound somewhere because I sent it to Q yesterday from the locker room. He was basically saying it's time to go opponent hunting and start knocking some people around. And I think that that's the mentality that he's going to bring to this offensive line. And as it relates to the offensive line, you guys, it always feels like the first month of the season, you know, like in a trial, there's like the discovery phase. I think every team right now is still in the discovery phase of who they are. You're not going to be who you are the first 2-3 weeks of the season. There's a lot of what can we do right? What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses?
What do we hope they are?
And I don't know that that's going to, you know, stay intact. There's no way they're going to score, you know, but they look pretty darn good. They absolutely do. So we'll see where that is kind of all headed. But I think this offensive line is still kind of in that discovery phase as well. And I think introducing Jackson Powers Johnson and the mentality that he's going to bring and the physicality that he's going to bring is bound to help, whether it's this Sunday when he's out there or at some point this season. I think he's going to help get this offensive line where it needs to be.
Thor in Summerlin, thank you for holding. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Raider Nation, what's happening, baby? It's game day weekend, man. Get fired up. What a win. My voice literally just came back yesterday from being out there in Baltimore and acting a fool. And honestly, out there at the stadium in Baltimore, you felt something late in the third quarter switch that was incredible. Like, we just kept letting the Baltimore fans that stuck around, because a lot of them left. But we're different now. Like, in mid-game, you felt, like, I don't even know how to describe it, but you actually felt it, and you saw it on the body language of the players. And if we can keep that going, I believe this team, really, I said 11-6 at the beginning of the year. I believe we accomplished that easy if you keep doing that kind of energy, that kind of mentality. Be tougher. Be stronger. And we're only going to get better. Yes, we have to start running the football, but the line is going to get better like everyone is. It has to. It really has to. And it will. I mean, the way this team, the veteran leadership is incredible. I'm so fired up. I can't wait to all the events. If you're in Vegas, come out today, noon to 2, whiskey by the stadium. There's events all over. Just look them up on wherever you – Raider stuff is that there's Raider stuff going on. Come out, hang with the family. They need the energy that the fans give them. In that game, in the fourth quarter, the Raider fans were louder than the Raven fans that stuck around, and you could see that too. So we need Vegas to be a true home field advantage starting today or starting on Sunday. This whole weekend, get out there, get them Raider vibes flowing. Real Raider Nation, let's go. Stand up, baby. Let's go. Love y'all, man.
Love it.
Thor.
Don't forget the crusted roof, 5 o'clock tomorrow, Vince.
Oh,
everyone's calling for Vince. Vince
I know.
Needs to be out
if
there.
It's free, it's for me. Well, I've told you. We'll see what the crusted roof can whip up like Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, crusted roof, 5 o'clock. Our proud partners, Dos Catas Tequila, throwing a big Raider rally starting at 5 o'clock tomorrow at crusted roof. So everybody's invited.
Coming up next, we got great sound from the locker room and more from the text line 702-365-9200. Vince, Vinny, and Clay here on the Morning Tailgate.